This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
This is a, sad story. Still kind of trying to get more information on this, but you probably heard about Alden Smith. Passed away last week. Well, over the weekend, 36 years old, Alden Smith, sorry. Dude, you remember his rookie season had like 17 sacks, and then his second season he had 19 and a half sacks. He was like skyrocketing. And then, had some ups and downs in his career. But he died hours after he had delivered pizzas to a homeless charity. No cause of death has been given right now. Smith's family, they have hired attorneys to help investigate his death. Well, the family also has decided to send his brain to medical experts in Boston to see whether CTE played a role in the former NFL defensive lineman's death. So, sad story there, and hopefully they can figure out what happened, because that's devastating for the family.
Yeah, one of his final acts, a heroic one.
Yeah, he had some, like I said, he had some ups and downs in his career, but based on that act, it would seem like he was, doing some good things. Again, without knowing too much about it, but I remember when he stormed onto the scene, man, he was good. John Tortorella, former head coach of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, let go. He's done. He will not return as head coach next season. Now, I guess they didn't really let him go. His contract was going through June 30th. He was a surprise hire, 8 games remaining in the regular season for the Golden Knights, after they fired Bruce Cassidy, who had 1 year remaining on his contract. They brought in John Tortorella. Man, that's a tough one. I know that people kind of go back and forth on him, but, you bring him in with 8 games remaining and he gets past the Colorado Avalanche and you're going to let him go after losing in the Stanley Cup final?
I'm a sore loser. I'm going to say the injured Colorado Avalanche. But yeah, I wouldn't have fired.
No, come on. Don't be the excuse maker.
Look, they were injured, but they also played terribly.
You're better than that, Mike. You're better.
No. Look, they were injured, but they played terribly. So the next man up still sat on the bench.
They didn't show up. They didn't show up for that series. I want to get into some Avs talk a little bit later on today. Major League Baseball decrees use of personal writings on Pride Night hats. Major League Baseball on Monday said the use of personal writings on any team issued Pride Night hats after members of the San Francisco Giants had Bible verses etched into their caps during Friday night's game against the Chicago Cubs. In a statement to multiple outlets, MLB Chief Communications Officer Pat Courtney said, "The writing on the cap violates our rules and consistent with normal practice. We have warned the players about future violations." Most recently, San Francisco's Landon Roop, a 27-year-old right-hander from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, started and pitched over 4 innings. He had Gen 912-16 on the front of his hat. Roop spoke to reporters after the 5-1 loss about his decision, and he was adamant that there's no hate at all. It's just what I stand for and what I stand on. I believe in God. This is a tough topic, Michael. I debated whether even bringing this up. Uniform is uniform. And I really stick to that. Because if you allow one guy to put a Bible verse on his hat, which is part of your uniform, then you have to be okay with a lot of messages that guys start putting out on their hat. It's a slippery slope. Here's the tough part in all of this, okay? Just bear with me. If you are a devout Christian, and that's your religion, and you believe in everything in that Bible word for word, don't you think it would be difficult to wear a hat that's symbolizing Pride Night? I'm just asking the question. If it's against you, now listen.
If it's from the book of Leviticus,
Christians are taught to love everyone. You may not agree with every decision they make or lifestyle, whatever, but taught to love everyone. So that's not what I'm arguing here. But if you are like all things God, all things Jesus, and all of his messages and all that, teams telling you you have to wear this hat. I'm just saying. I don't even know where I'm going on this, Mike. But if that's your belief, 100%, and wearing a hat to promote that, is that not a difficult task for a player that's a diehard kind of religious? I don't want to say fanatic, but you know what I mean. This is a hard conversation to have, Michael.
Yeah, I mean there are some people out there of the Muslim faith who would also want to put something from the Quran on there, and like that's I'm a uniform purist. Like maybe the shoes, you can have different colored shoes and stuff, but like I just feel like
I agree with you.
I like my colors to be orange and blue and don't write anything on it. I don't care whether you agree with me or not.
Yeah.
I might.
But what if they're telling you to wear a hat that's honoring a night in which maybe is against some of your beliefs? Not that you're against the person. Now you can be a person that's not really for the whole Pride Night thing and promoting that, whatever, and still like not hate people that are gay. That's fair to say, right, Mike? But yeah. But what if there's a league telling you have to wear this hat and or uniform to promote that you're not really supportive of? I'm just asking the question.
Genesis just feels like more of a benign message than some of the stuff.
I'm not asking specifically about verses, Michael. I'm asking you how you would feel if there's something that you don't support, but the team is making you wear the uniform. Is that just, hey, you're a Major League Baseball player, you signed the contract, you got to wear what we tell you to wear?
I'd say no, because you see me every day, and I wear Broncos stuff, like no matter what. And if they were like, well, we need you to wear something non-Broncos, I'm more likely to rebel.
It's not non-Broncos. It's the team. It's the team. Still the team. They're just different colors to promote and, I guess, honor Pride Night.
Yeah, but if I was playing for the San Francisco Giants and if they want me to wear something non-Broncos, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I wear this all the time.
Can you follow me with this?
I'm following you.
Pretend it's the Broncos then.
That's my example.
You're not saying – you're okay.
If someone – look, okay, how about this?
No.
If someone tells me
you're confusing
you must
it.
Wear this, I'm going to go, I don't
Fine.
Want to do
Play
that.
Play with me here, Mike. If you're playing for the Broncos and they have a Pride Night – and they say, it's still a Broncos jersey. You still got your little horse on there. You have your little logo, but it's colored like the Pride colors. Are you having an issue with that?
Yeah, I am a uniform purist, and I don't want non-Denver Broncos colors on my uniform.
You're not going. It's their uniform, though. If you're a uniform purist, they're telling you, on this night, that is our uniform. So if you're a uniform purist, then you would probably agree to wear the uniform because that's their night.
That's not necessarily a uniform purist. Like, you're just agreeing with the franchise
that's
who made that decision.
They're telling
and
you
I'm
the uniform is.
I don't want opinions on my uniform.
Okay, thank you. That took us a while to get there.
I don't want to support groups on my uniform. I don't care who the group is. It could be a group of libertarians. I'm still going, a lot of people don't believe in this. Why are we doing that?
It's a very, like I said, man, I debated even bringing this up. First off, you took us on a really weird journey because you're just so obsessed with the Broncos. It's just you can't even pretend sometimes.
I've quite a mastery of the humorous yawn.
Buzz Killington strikes again. I do like, because didn't Clayton Kershaw do it? There's been several players that have done it. And all I'm saying is, if that is something that you don't believe in, that doesn't mean you hate the person. It's just, if that's something that you're like, hey, the religion I follow doesn't hate the person, but doesn't necessarily say we should be honoring this kind of night, but you're telling me I have to wear a hat that's doing that. In your religion, you might look at it and say, wow, I'm disappointing my God, my religion, by wearing this hat. Doesn't mean you hate the person. Doesn't necessarily mean you hate what they choose to do sexually or whatever. But that is a very, very tough one to talk about, Mike. I'm uncomfortable talking about it.
Yeah. I just say you got to eliminate nights. You got to eliminate group nights. Because everybody of all sorts, sports is the most unifying thing out there. You could be the exact opposite politically than someone else. If you're wearing the orange of the Broncos, you're friends. Like, it is the most unifying and sometimes dividing thing in this world. So if you're going to introduce another element,
this is a good text here. Text from the 970. The legendary Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Sandy Koufax famously chose not to pitch in game one of the 1965 World Series because it fell on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the year in Judaism, if I could say that right. Do you just ask not to pitch on Pride Night? I think that would probably be the better solution. If you're just opposed to it, you should talk to your staff and say, here's where I am. I don't know.
If you get enough people pushing back, like this is a very nuanced thing, and I am for like celebrating who someone is, but I'm not for saying you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're celebrating a Christian night, and you have someone
Agreed.
Who's atheist or
yes, that's
Church
a great way to
or whatever.
That's a great way to kind of there's a compare and contrast there. I kind of view myself as a practicing Christian, meaning I am flawed. I mess up all the time. But if I'm a Christian and I'm saying, hey, I want to honor and I run the team, I want to honor Christians tonight. This is going to be our Christian night. And they say, there's certain players that are not of the Christian faith. And they're like, I don't want to wear that hat because it's got a cross on there and I'm not a Christian. I think that would be unfair of me as an owner to try to make them. And again, we're talking religion and sexual orientation differences, but go with us, right? We're trying to make comparisons here. Eastside Chris says, what about military nights?
And that's a good question, Eastside Chris. I support the troops. I hate war. Don't want America to get in wars. I still say sell that stuff in
the military's not a
in the don't make people wear
that's
that
not
uniform.
A movement though, is it?
It's not as polarizing.
Yeah, okay. Let's get into this later. I want to follow up on this because we're getting some good texts and it's a good discussion to have because it's a part of our sports society. But coming up next, we're going to talk to Spencer Smith of DNVR. Rockies, the Rockies break our hearts again last night, and we still need 3 wins before we shave the beards as the Dirty 30 presses on.
Has their eyes on the skies this summer. Hear Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when 4 walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. The Rockies lose last night to the Chicago Cubs 5-4. It was 4-2 when I turned on the game and was in the eighth inning, and then they end up losing the ballgame. It was very frustrating. Joining me now, we've got Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. I thought we were getting 28 last night, my friend. We would be two away. And the potential of getting this done was still out there to get it done by June 17th, which is tomorrow. But you know what? They didn't get it done. That was one of your infuriating losses, I'm sure, Spencer.
Yes, it definitely was. Those have been adding up the past week, man. It's been a rough couple of games in sandwiched in between the greatest offensive game they've had in their career or their history. And yesterday was a tough pill to swallow, that's for sure.
So talk to me about, let's get into, where do you want to go? You want to go positive or negative first, Spencer? How about you dictate how this one goes?
Let's start out with the negative first.
Okay.
And we can talk about the bullpen.
Yikes. Oh, I mean, it was, 4-2, and I'm already thinking, nah, this one, no, it's not done. This is not win 20. I don't feel good about it.
No, I even was worried about the game when it was 18-8 on Sunday against the Athletics. I'm in my tweet, I said, this game's not over yet, but this has been really fun. And I would not have been surprised had that game gotten tighter towards the end. But yeah, last night, Cole Kerrig, obviously we'll get to him as a massive positive for this team. But the bullpen last night, and it's just a microcosm of their season, really, man. It's you bring in a starter, you actually have a starter go five innings and only give up one run. Shout out to Michael Lorenzen
for having a
good start. And he gives up especially after surrendering a leadoff home run to start the game. I thought, oh boy, we're really in for it tonight, aren't we? And he goes five, gives up one run. You get the bullpen in there. And it was just little, there was no real bad. I guess Juan Mejia's ninth inning you could consider really bad, but it was just like little cuts. It was Antonio Senzatella giving up another run, which he hasn't done a ton this year, but he gives up a run. And then you've got Jaden Hill comes in, and it's very sketchy, and he gets out of it. And then you got Victor Vodnik, fresh off the injured list, comes in, and he looks like a disaster and can't find the strike zone, doesn't even finish an inning and gives up a run. Then Mejia comes and saves him and then comes in the ninth inning and ruins it again. And then you bring Seth Halverson in, who really had no shot, bases loaded, nobody out. I guess you're trying to get a ground ball or strike three guys in a row out, and he ends up walking in the winning run. So that game yesterday was if you've been watching the Rockies all season long, they've won, their fair share of games, 28 this season. Last year it was like 11 at this point. So we're positive there, but the microcosm of the season was that game yesterday, in that you have some exciting things happen. You actually have some good starting pitching, and then at the end, you just find they're not finding ways to win; they're finding ways to lose games.
What did you make of Warren Schaefer's decision there? We talked about that ninth inning with Mejia, and I've even listening on the broadcast. I heard the fellas say, this is going to be a tough spot to throw Halverson. Oh, yep, they're doing it. What did you make of that? Is that a case where you would have rather see Warren Schaefer just say, you know what, you started this mess, you're going to have to finish it. We don't want to put Halverson in this situation. Or did you like that switch?
Well, ironically, both, so me and Christian, my other DNVR Rockies host, and one of the guys here at DNVR does Broncos Henry. He's on the Rockies pod with us sometimes too, and we all have a group chat going. And we said, one of the questions posed last night going into the ninth inning was, all right, who do you go to the ninth with? And both Christian and I, almost the exact same text at the same time, said, I think I'd start it with Mejia and have Halverson hot right away. And I don't know how hot Halverson was to start the inning, but I thought, everybody wants to go back in time and be hindsight about it and say hindsight's always 20/20, right? We could have said, Seth Halverson could have came in with nobody on, nobody out in that inning and gotten the save, and you win the game and everybody's happy today. But in reality, how Mejia looked, he hasn't been great this year, but he looked great in the end of that eighth inning. And most of their guys, pretty much all their guys, can go multiple innings, and they've done it before. So I wasn't shocked to see Mejia come out for the ninth. but I was shocked. I think it maybe was a batter or two too long. And it, you know, it's, you kind of got to do the eye test too. When you're watching the game, you're like, okay, was Mejia just giving up kind of bloop hits or kind of garbage hits? That in that case, you can say, all right, he's close. It's not perfect, but he's close, and maybe we'll leave him in there. And then you look at what he was doing and just missing the strike zone and walking guys, the walks, 9 walks yesterday, just an absolute killer for this team. You got to get him out quicker than that. But I've always told people that I argue with people on Twitter because I consider myself a Warren Schaefer defender, and I, you know, I stand by that for at least a while. When you bring a bullpen pitcher in, you expect them to finish an inning. You don't bring a bullpen pitcher in and have a guy hot right away, to, ready to come in and save him when he walks one guy. You know, you got to have some confidence. These are the major leaguers that you have. I'm not saying that they're any good or that they're worth being in the major leagues, but they're the guys that you have on the roster that you have to trust to go an inning. So it's been a really frustrating couple of weeks in terms of being able to get a lead late, and then you turn around and just hand that lead right back. They've been handing teams games. They've had a chance to have some really impressive, gritty wins, as I call them, and those have turned into infuriating losses because the bullpen just can't seem to not give up a run. Every pitcher that comes out of that pen is giving up at least one run.
Spencer, is there any thought? I was thinking about this morning with Sensatella. I mean, obviously, he's had, you know, moving him from being a starting pitcher to kind of all over the place. I mean, I never really know where he's going to be inserted into a particular game. Is there a thought on, like, maybe this is a stupid question, just make him the closer?
You know, there is. I think everyone outside of Rockies internally are wondering that same question. And why not just have your specific closer? And last night, you know, turned out to be an interesting game because you saw Sensatella, and I believe it was the fifth and the sixth, or yeah, finishing the fifth or maybe into the sixth inning when he came in. And you're thinking, all right, well, we've got this game at 1-1. We just tied it up. Cole Carrig, bases loaded walk. We just tied it up. I think the thought there was, all right, Sensatella can go 2 innings and hopefully give us 2 innings of shutout baseball where we can then take the lead and hand it off to someone else. And I think what it really boils down to is the fact that you've got one guy down there that you trust. And while, yes, him being the closer on a normal baseball team makes sense, nothing the Rockies are doing right now from a pitching standpoint is normal. You don't see bullpen guys going as many innings as these guys are going. You don't see your best bullpen pitcher pitching in the fifth inning ever. You don't see guys pitching to, you know, right-handed pitchers that actually have good left-handed matchups. Jaden Hill's an example of that, where Jaden Hill will come in to get lefties out. Jaden Hill also comes in every bad situation. I swear to God, that guy never gets to just come into an inning and have nobody on base.
Yeah.
It's absurd. And he's been good too, but it's a very weird, I guess weird is not the right term. What should I call it? Non-traditional way of running the bullpen. And it's clearly not working right now. But is it not working because of the way you're running the bullpen? Or is it not working because the guys you have down there to choose from are just simply not good enough?
Yeah, probably a little mixture of both, I would imagine. Well, let's talk about the positive. You mentioned it. Cole Carrig, though, my gosh, man. And, you know, people that weren't paying attention are asking the question, like, where did this dude come from? What an incredible start for him.
Yeah, this guy is every bit the real deal of an MLB player that we had hoped the Rockies would find at some point, whether it was him, Sterling Thompson, hopefully Charlie Condon later in this year. There was a lot of guys in that outfield position where really they were just blocked. And if it wasn't for the injuries to Mickey Moniak and Brenton Doyle and Jake McCarthy going down and Tyler Freeman going down, I don't want to ruin the whole radio show with just injuries because we could go on for the rest of this time. But there's so many injuries in the outfield specifically that Cole Carrig finally got the call up. And the difference is they called up Sterling Thompson before Cole Carrig, which everybody was like, why are we going to do that? Why not bring the kid up that's just absolutely on fire at the AAA level? And the goal there was when they brought Carrig up, they wanted Carrig to come up and stick and start and play. That is the difference between him and Sterling Thompson. They brought Sterling Thompson up because it was an injury here, an injury there. You didn't know how long he was going to be up. You could send him back down pretty easily. Cole Carrig was the guy that they wanted to come up and play and start. And you saw that. We were at his debut, got to meet him in the dugout last week, and just an absolute beast of a guy. Five-tool players, got everything you'd want in an outfielder, even played shortstop yesterday. So kind of another utility guy to add to the the Rockies' tool chest, can run, can throw, can steal bases, plays a good outfield position, hits the ball for power, clearly runs around the bases and does everything well, right? And so it's nice to see him up there and starting and playing in center field every single day and starting your first week of MLB service time with three homers, a triple, and playing some great defense, had an outfield assist in the Vegas A's series. So this guy's been incredible, man, and he might be someone that saves the Rockies in terms of the viewpoint from the fans and people wanting to go to games. I think if he continues this run for another month, people are going to want to go to the ballpark to see Cole Kerrig. That's how good he is. And so hopefully you get some guys back like the Mickey Moniaks and Brenton Doyles at some point, but I think this kid's played his way onto the field for the rest of the season and hopefully a longer time than that.
Yeah, so much fun to watch. It's exciting. Hopefully, you can keep that rolling early on. Spencer, before we let you go, man, I need three more. I need three more wins here. Where are we looking? We haven't talked about this in a bit, but I'm ready to shave the beard. So give me some hope here, my friend.
I will say, by the time we talk next Tuesday, they will either have gotten it, or we will be talking about that night, you being able to finally make that appointment. I think the Red Sox come into town next week. They've got the Pirates at home this weekend. We should see some unbelievably fun games, just a lot of runs scored, not a lot of good pitching unless Steens is pitching. But even this, the worst Rockies team in history got to Paul Steens last year. So you never know what you're going to see when they get back home in the middle of June. But I will put my guarantee on it that if next Tuesday we are not at the 30 wins, we will be at 29 and talking about maybe this Tuesday night game against the Red Sox, you can finally get that beard shaved off.
So one more week's not going to kill me. One more week's fine. We can live with that. So hopefully
we just hope the beard doesn't turn too gray and they lose games like the way they've lost them in the past week, because that's
the stress. Yes, it's very stressful. It is. And when you throw your face up as collateral during this season, it makes every game a little more stressful, at least at this stage in the season.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of Rockies fans or people that are like, "Oh, what do you care when the Rockies win this game and that game?" And I'm like, and every time I hear that from anybody, I just think of you, because I know you're invested in getting to that 30, no matter when it comes.
That's what we're trying to do. You know, we're just trying to build some excitement around this team, and of course, you help us more than anybody else do that, Spencer. Always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. And I'll ask, if I'm shaved by that time, I'll ask if it sounds different. You know, with no beard, do I sound different? That'll be a fun time.
Maybe a little less grizzly of a voice.
Yeah, maybe so. It's been so long, I don't know what life is like without beard. So we'll see. Spencer, my man, great work. Hey, throw out your info there so we can check out your stuff, man, because we love your baseball insight. We love your Rockies insight.
You can follow us at DNVR_Rockies on X or Twitter, whatever you decide to call it. I am at Big Drive Spence on Twitter as well. Go check out our YouTube channel. We did a show last week from 1913, the Rockies Speakeasy, had Warren Schaefer on, had Mickey Moniak on. It was really cool to get to talk to them and hear their insight on, you know, Mickey coming to the Rockies, Warren Schaefer becoming the full-time manager. Had a really good, just nice, relaxed chat with them. This wasn't an interview about numbers or any of that. It was like, hey, we're in the Speakeasy, we're going to have some fun. So go check that out on our YouTube channel from last week.
I thought it was great. It was fun. You know, like you said, we're not going to go crazy with X's and O's. We're just going to have kind of a relaxed conversation. And it was very entertaining, man. So well done by you. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Spencer Smith, DNVR, Rockies, Michael. He thinks we'll be either done or the day next Tuesday we'll be talking about getting it done. So he's kind of loosely predicting two more wins within the next week, and we'll be at 29 by next Tuesday.
Are you going to film the beard and the haircut being groomed?
No, I don't, because I'm doing that at my house. It's hard to hold the phone up, and because as soon as the Rockies, like as soon as it hits 30, it's going off, and then I schedule my haircut. Ready.
My beard's gotten really long. I'm also participating in the Dirty 30.
No, it's just
not
how you
lazy
are.
In the mornings.
It's just how you are. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still doing that Andre? Oh, for sure.
Welcome back into The Hulse Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. I want to shout out to the Eaton Country Club. Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course resides in Eaton at the one and only Eaton Country Club. They sport some of the best greens in Northern Colorado. And listen, if you're not a member, you're listening to this right now and you're thinking about becoming a member, you want to join, and maybe you're just not ready to take that step yet, they have tournaments going on that are open to the public all the time. So you can check out those availabilities at eatoncc.net and see if that's where maybe you're ready to call your next golf home the Eaton Country Club. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do we want to finish up our conversation on the Major League Baseball thing? Is that?
Yeah, we could do that.
Well, we just had some texts coming in, and it's a complicated thing, you know. Major League Baseball is basically saying, "Hey, we're warning you, don't put personal writings on the Pride Night's hat." The pitcher in question is it Landon Roop, the 27-year-old, had put 9:12:16 that verse. And it is essentially about the rainbow. It's a biblical passage where God establishes the rainbow as the everlasting sign of his covenant with Noah and all living creatures. Well, obviously, Pride Night, the colors are typically what, Michael?
Rainbows.
Typically rainbows. So you can see if, like, someone of that faith would have an issue with that hat. Now, again, you and I are kind of on the same page here. It's like, you know what? To avoid this altogether, because I agree with the verse thing. If you allow him to put a Christian Bible verse on his hat, then you would need to allow probably a lot of things. It's hard to say no, yes to that, but then no to others. You got to be careful there. So it's not that I necessarily disagree with the warning, because if you start messing with your uniform, I'm kind of more like you where I'm about the uniform. Now, in this case, the uniform for these specific nights dictates, you know, it tells you to wear the Pride jerseys and the Pride hats. And some person that is of Christian faith might find the idea of putting a rainbow colored hat to honor Pride Night to be a bit against their religion. And I don't think that's obviously not far fetched.
This is a marketing snafu. Oh. This is a marketing snafu. I'm just going to say, Major League Baseball, the NFL, they don't care about pride. They probably don't care that much about the military.
Let's not try to paint it with such a broad stroke. Because you're saying that everybody in the NFL, not one of them there, cares about Pride Night. I think that's a little unfair. Now, you can say, hey, ultimately, what is this about? And I agree with you. But let's not say nobody in the NFL.
I'm not saying nobody.
Well, you did say that. I'm trying to help you out.
As a group, what is the point of these owning these teams? To win and to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do pretty much anything to make money. And good for them. I'm a capitalist. I like it. I just think the problem is they didn't think about it. They didn't think about it, and they haven't been thinking about it for years.
I mean, does the NFL do a pride thing? I'm not sure. But I know the NBA does.
Hats, but
I know the NHL does. I know Major League Baseball does. So it's just tough, because if you do this, you have to know, whether you agree or disagree with that person, there is a belief that's like, you know, hey, you're using the rainbow to promote Pride Night. I believe the rainbow is a different symbol. It's actually like quite the contrast of what we're promoting here. And I could see why someone would have a little bit of an issue with wearing one of those hats. If that's against their religion, if it's somewhat against their religion. And so we had the text earlier said, well, you guys are both saying, just don't do any of these kind of group promotions. And we had a texter say, well, what about military nights?
Good text.
And I think that's a great question, because to me, I don't really view the military as a group, really. it's an occupation that protects the country in which we live, and I think that overrules all the other stuff. So I actually say military night is hard for me to put in the same category.
Yeah, I mean, the military, I don't think, has ever upset the NFL. There's never been an anti-military movement in the NFL. It's also so much less polarizing.
It's the military. And I just think that one, to me, is not in the same category as doing specific nights. And again, you know, Mike, remember when Brandon Marshall was wearing the cleats to promote mental health awareness, and the NFL had issues with wearing different, you know, colored cleats and all this?
Now it's the exact opposite.
Well, because they fought, and they're like, wait a second, you support all these causes that are important to you, but you're not allowing us to. So they bent that, and they turned it around, and they said, you know, you guys can do that now. You can support your different... But the problem is the NFL, the NBA, all these organizations, they support certain groups or whatever, and then you're just told you have to do it. It's just interesting.
Yeah, I don't think you should have to do it. If it was me and I wasn't such a uniform purist, I wouldn't care. But honestly, people, they need to stop being so dumb, and they need to go, oh, this is going to upset a lot of people. Let's not do it. They have Star Wars night. Why do they have Star Wars night? The Rockies? Because they can make money off of it.
Yeah, what if you're anti-Star Wars?
Then you
what if
don't
you're
care?
A Trekker? You know? What if you're,
hey, Star
what
Trek
if you're
night.
A Trekker?
Oh, man.
And this is a tough one. HVAC guy's like, I'm more concerned about this, and it's a tweet. Trying to imagine the coverage if Obama had spent $60 million to host a pay-per-view NBA event at the White House where LeBron called Melania a hooker. See, like, what are we talking about here? Like, that's a different... That's how we get into this with politics. Like, I'm not even on that issue right now. And we're making it about that suddenly. Like, we already talked about the fight thing. This is specifically about a guy putting a Bible verse on his hat, whether it's a good move or a bad move by the MLB to tell him he can't do that. And so I don't know where to go on that walk with you. I don't know where to go there.
Yeah, it's politics in sports.
Right.
And people, we've said this before, people watch sports so they don't have to have politics. This is why kneeling was so controversial, because there were a lot of people who were like, I just want to watch sports. And
right,
there
like,
were a lot of people
who
disagreed with the
to
kneeling.
HVAC guy's text, like, I didn't watch the thing Sunday, the fight thing. I'm not a UFC guy. Did I think it was odd and unique, whatever? Sure. I don't think I'm worrying if Obama has a basketball game or if Trump has a fight night there. If you can justify it, then go for it. I'm not really one of those guys. I think that events like that can be good, whatever. So, but I don't know the route you want me to go on that one. So,
yeah, I don't, honestly, marketing has to be smarter. The whole thing is marketing has to be smarter. You can't.
I think, like, we should do gambling night.
What night?
Gambling night.
I can honestly believe that they will do sports
gambling, and you make them all wear DraftKings uniforms. And then it's just like, hey, each player gets their specific parlay they can tell you to use, and you can bet on 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Rockies are better. Hear Rockies games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
All right, we'll read some texts coming back. It's a heated topic, man. It's a weird topic for sure. But we'll talk about it coming up. Clip of the day, Michael. It's not really a day of clip, but it happened on this day 3 years ago. Also, J.K. Dobbins. He's got bold predictions for the upcoming season. And a former Wyoming Cowboy doesn't think Bo Nix would have made the difference in the Broncos-Patriots AFC Championship game. Is he wrong? Talk about it. Clip of the day, Mike. Are you ready for it? You ready for the clip of the day, buddy?
I'm ready.
Okay. We'll get to it then. Here we come.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.